We are falling out. That's it. We're done. We fell out.
Would you call us the Fallout Boys?
Ooh. I don't know. I've just kind of mutated, you know what I mean, into something else, into a menace. Gotcha.
I won't block you because I'm only one creature.
We're trying here, people. Okay, we're trying. We're digging. We're digging deep.
What do you expect from us? Okay, we do this for free.
Yeah, we do. I'm not getting paid for this. All right, we're on to the Fallout Commanders. We wanted to talk about them. We haven't talked Magic in a while. Wanted to bring this to you. Talk about the new Fallout Commanders. Now, I do have an understanding. I mean, I know that for a fact. These are in low supply, I've heard. So it might be really difficult to find all these decks.
Really?
Yeah, in general. I know I've seen them at my Target. I don't know if they're there anymore. And you could always buy them off, like, you know, the TCG players of the world and stuff like that. They might be marked up a bit, which would kind of hurt.
No, but you kind of bring up a good point where, like, there might be a card that's, like, $4 now that's unique that, like, I don't know, in 5 years it might be, like, $30. Because this is the only
because they're rare. And yeah, with these in particular, just like they were with the Warhammers, right? It's going to be hard to reprint this. This might be the only time we ever see Fallout stuff ever. So might want it around. So the next deck we're going to talk about is the Mutant Menace. This is the Sultai deck, with the head of the deck being the Wise Mothman. I am assuming he is from Fallout 4, because I've never seen this guy.
I'm going to be honest, I assumed it wasn't from Fallout 4, because
let's see what Wise Mothman's from. Wise Mothman Fallout. He's from... Looking. No wonder. He's in Fallout 76, which is that's the... massive multiplayer online version of Fallout. So no wonder both of us are like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah. I was
never
like,
played nope, 76.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, he says he's 1BG-BLUE for a 3/3 insect mutant with flying. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, each player gets a rad counter. Well, what is a rad counter, Eric? A rad counter says, you got this?
Well, so you get a special token called Radiation. Then at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, if you have any rad counters, mill that many cards. For each non-land card milled this way, you lose 1 life and a rad counter.
I did not know about that last part. I thought it was just the mill.
No, yeah, it's you lose that. That's how the only way you could lose rad counters is if you mill non-land card. And yeah, you lose a life, and then that's how you get rid of the rad counters.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought it was like an emblem where, like, for per rad counter, you just mill that many and then continue on with your life, which is insane. But that also makes sense that rad does drop down.
You lose radiation over time. By losing, and I love this, by the way.
That's a great mechanic. That's crazy.
I think, like, this is how poison should have been. Like,
right. Yeah, this is a much better poison mechanic.
Yeah, and like it's not like amazing like poison is, but I think it's probably going to be way better than people think. Like, can't you just imagine? It's like, oh, if there's ways of getting like 4 rad counters on somebody, just be like, okay. Mill 4. Oh, I mill 2 non-land cards. I lose 2 life. Somebody like proliferates twice. And it's like, oh, now I have another 4 rat counters. Then I play a card. It gets another 3. So now I have 7. It's like, oh, I mill 7 now. Then I lose another 4 life and whatever. I don't know. Like, it feels
pretty
like...
It's pretty cool. It's a much better rotting mechanic, like you said, than,
poison. Where it's just like, I proliferate, I attack you twice. Then I sit here, attack you 2 more times, proliferate, and then you lose? Okay, you can't play the game anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a much cooler mechanic. He also has more lines of text, too, as most cards do this day and age. Whenever one or more non-land cards are milled, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to X target creatures, where X is the number of non-land cards milled this way. So it works directly in tandem with these rad counters that you have put on everyone. Kind of crazy, because you put them on each player with this guy.
Yeah, it's only one. So I don't know exactly. Like, this feels
it's
like
only one, but he keeps doing it too.
Yep, he keeps doing it. So, like, if two people mill over lands, then they still have the rad counter.
They still have rad.
So,
yeah. His last ability didn't trigger yet, but they still have the radiation.
Yep.
It's. As far as self-contained cards go, that's kind of insane. You know what I mean? Like, compared to the last deck where we saw the main commander needed a whole other subset of cards just for her to do anything at all.
Yeah, this is
card does everything it wants to do by itself.
Yeah, the way it's way more self-contained, but like the self-contained thing is like you get a 4/4 flying.
that can get bigger and bigger.
It can get bigger and bigger, yeah. This feels like a 99 thing to, like, an Atraxa deck. Like, it's like, you know, you're playing rad counter.
I mean, isn't everything.
That's true, yeah. That's true. You're not wrong here.
I think you're talking about every card.
Yeah. But, like, kind of what you're saying, like, the if you just don't want to play white or don't want to get the stigma of being an Atraxa player, like, how many Sultai commanders are not generic +1/+1 counters for like proliferation style? So I think this is pretty cool.
We can go over quickly the alternative too, which is also really interesting. I thought his ability was a little different, so I was way more excited about him. This is the Master Transcendent. 1BG/BG for a 2/4 mutant artifact creature as well. When he ETBs, target player gets 2 rad counters. So only one of them, not each, but they get 2. And then he has a tap ability. Tap, put target creature in a graveyard that was milled this turn onto the battlefield under your control. It is a green mutant with base power and toughness 3/3. So you're hoping that they mill over big, giant 9/9. Well, actually, that doesn't help you at all. You're just hoping they mill over Archon of Enter the Battle, a Titan, basically, that has
ETB. Kind of cruelty or something. I think
and put it in.
This is pretty way cool. Better than the first one. Like,
than the Mothman?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it has a higher upside. I think that's...
Yeah. And, like, this works without rad counters. I mean, the other one does, too. But, like...
Yeah, the other one works just as well without rad counters. But this ability is probably stronger.
Yeah, and like you can, it's like you just mill yourself. Like self mill is like super
easiest.
Strong.
Yeah, easiest way to do it for sure.
So you can just play a bunch of dredge and just be like, oh, I dredge 15 this turn, or like,
And there's my crazy Archon. I'll tap and put him in for 0 mana.
Yeah, so I think this one's like really awesome for self mill. Not as good as like rad counters, because you really want everybody to be doing rad counters. Like rad counters are way better on the cards that say like each opponent gets a rad counter or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the nature of rad counters, they don't have a fail case. So it's not just like right. Mill one, they lose the rad counter, and then if you mill over 9 land, then they lose a life. So it's kind of hard to play this mill to like put the rad counters on them and then play something else that like proliferates, because they could just mill 2 sorceries or artifact and a sorcery, and then they lose the rad counters and you get no value off of just.
Other notable things in this deck comparing to the last deck, right? The value is definitely a lot more spread out among a bunch of cards. They have the Feral Ghoul, who looks really good. I need one of these guys. 2BG, 2/2 zombie mutant with menace. Whenever another creature you control dies, you put a 1/1 counter on Feral Ghoul. And when Feral Ghoul dies, each opponent gets a number of rad counters equal to its power.
Ugh. Like, really good. This seems sick, you know? Like, you have like seven creatures and somebody board wipes. And like,
it's a really good card.
Yeah. Or if have you have the back outlet, yeah, you just be like, okay, now you get eight red counters. And then you just kind of burn them out for eight, essentially. Yeah.
And all these cards are going to be worth like over $2 to $3 that I'm going to talk about. The Watchful Radstag, 2 and a green, 2/2 with Evolve. Whenever it evolves, create a token that's a copy of it. Evolve, if you remember, is whenever something enters that has a higher toughness or power, it will get a 1/1 counter on it. So if you play a 3/3, you get a 3/3 and another 2/2.
Yeah. I wonder, how does this work with cards to say, like, oh, your creatures enter with a +1/+1 counter on it?
Does that just it go sees infinite? The bigger power. So if it says, like, yeah, if you play, like, a Ballista, right, who's a 0/0 but gets all the counters on it, and you play it as a 5/5, it sees it as a 5/5.
Gotcha.
I don't know why it works like that, but it does.
But
because, like, thinking about it, it's like, well, I guess it does make sense, right? Because it can't enter as a 0/0.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, literally, in order
then
for
the magic wouldn't work. Yeah. So no, it enters as a 5/5, and yeah. So whatever thing, if they enter with an additional blah 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 of counters, it sees it as how big
it sees it as that. It says.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that card's crazy. You know how fast that thing is going to get out of control. You play a 3/3, right? He becomes a 3/3 and you get a 2/2. You play a 4/4, you now get, that one becomes a 4/4, the other one becomes a 3/3, and you get another 2/2.
Yeah, exactly. Because the 2/2 hasn't evolved yet. So
Even if you just played a 3/3, you won't yet, the 3/3 won't become a 4/4, but you'll have the 3/3. The 2/2 will become a 3/3, and you'll still get another 2/2.
Yeah, you could just play 3/3s, and you always trigger something, because copy is a 2/2, yeah.
Oh, that's the crazy part. Yeah, once you have two of these in play, and you play a 5/5, and you say the other two are 3/3, or one's a 3/3, one's a 2/2, both will trigger new copies. Oh my god. Yeah. This card is insane.
Yeah, this is something that's...
I'm kind of surprised this thing's only worth $2. I think that one will go up.
I think it will too, because there's got to be some infinite.
That's very unique, and there's no other card that does that.
Yeah, especially with Enter the Battlefield effects. Most of these things have been like, oh, when you attack and deal damage, you create a copy of this creature. And then they have trample or something, but they're 2/2s. So that's pretty awesome. I think one of the best cards of this set will be Nuclear Fallout.
Yes, and that's the next one to talk about. Actually, well, there was one more creature to talk about first.
Yeah, we'll talk about the creature.
So it's the Lumbering Mega Sloth. It's hilarious. 10 green, green sloth mutant, and 8/8 with trample. It costs one less for each counter among players and permanents, but at ETB's tapped. I don't know why he's so expensive. It just seems like an okay card.
Is trample and he enters the battlefield tapped? Yeah, exactly.
It just seems like an okay card.
I don't know why he costs that much. Yeah.
I don't either. Okay, we'll move on. He doesn't sound that great.
Because it is like, oh, if I have an X creature and I pay 2 mana, and it's 2/1/1 counters, so this costs 2 less. Mm. But like, yeah, I have no idea. Because it still costs 2 mana for an 8/8 trample. Like,
right, that enters tapped. Okay.
Enters tapped. Yeah, I have... Yeah. Is there some sort of combo we're not thinking about? Or is this a well-beloved figure in the Fallout world that, you know, that's not
This one makes no sense to me.
Yeah, definitely do not buy this.
Don't invest in this guy. Because they can print 1,000 characters that do this exact effect.
Exactly.
But better. You don't need this guy.
Yeah, because, like, you know, the... Oh crap! Well, it's the cycle of creatures that give your opponents creatures.
The hunted cycle.
Yeah, hunted horror is a 2/2 with trample that gives.
It's a 2-mana 7/7 hunted horror.
It's a 2-mana 7/7 with trample, but untapped. So like it gives one of your opponents 2/3/3s, but like it's the same thing, but. It doesn't cost.
No, I don't get this one at all. So let's get to the nuclear fallout. This is the newest in board wipery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a X black black sorcery. Each creature gets twice.
Yeah, I like
X,
that.
X, minus X until end of turn. And each player gets X rad counters.
Really good.
I think the twice XX is like kind of
super helpful. That's crazy helpful. I mean, it kind of needed that, right? Because it just gets it in line with, you know, like Languish, yeah. Right, is 4 mana, -4/-4. So this is the same now. It's a 4 mana, -4/-4.
Exactly.
Plus like, 2 red counters. But
yeah, the idea of X damage for X red, like that is just, that's not powerful enough anymore.
No, yeah, it doesn't. Because creatures are so big now.
I know.
Yeah, everything's at least a 5/5.
There's 2 mana 8/8s out there. What are you talking
about?
That are
worth $8 for some reason.
And they're tapped. but yeah, I think this card kind of moves the needle for me. I know like the past couple times I see a board wipe, I'm like, unless it costs 3 mana or does something else, I'm out. This kind of
minus X is one of the, like, that and exiling are two, like, you have to rate them way higher on the board wipe scale.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
I think to me, exiling especially.
Right. Exiling especially. And then the minus, everything gets around indestructible or hexproof. But the X red counters, keep in mind, in order for the rad counters to go away, they have to deal damage. So if you do this for 5, you are burning everybody for 5. Not right away.
Sure.
But eventually, you are like dealing, what, like 7-8 cards and dealing
maybe 5 more damage.
Yeah. So I think right. That's going
to
like kind
of. Yeah, you don't even need to be in a proliferate deck or anything for that aspect of it to be useful to you.
Yeah, it is also a burn card, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Where, yeah, people are like, oh, I have 8 life left. And then you just have 12 mana. You can just be like, okay, you're on a clock. Like, yeah, you better not mill 7 cards. Or better mill like 7 lands. top 10 cards.
Right. I just want to point out the art for Harmonize is incredible. Real quick. It's a guy sitting, a zombie sitting in a chair, sunning himself.
With the sun chair, yeah. There's a lot of cards that I'm just like, I kind of just want these.
That's incredible. But the next money card to talk about is Rad Storm. We saw this one in previews, and this is a pretty simple card, and it seems pretty friggin' good. 3 in a blue for an instant, Storm, proliferate. That's all it says.
Yeah, and I bought some like pre-order cards, just like 4 or 5, because I thought they'd be good. Yeah, I'm glad I did this before it was this price. Yeah, this is another one. I think it's going to be like $10.
Eventually, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good card. This is just an effect that you're like, yeah, I could see where that would be busted.
in every single periphery deck.
Yep.
It's going to be, because people would pay, I mean, in 5 years, who knows what Commander is going to look like. But right. Proliferate 4 is like you
at instant mana, speed.
Instant speed.
There aren't a lot of instant ways to proliferate. That's the crazy part.
That's true.
There's not a lot. This is a pretty rare effect. And putting Storm on it is nuts.
It is just nuts. Somebody plays something, then somebody else tries to counter something, and then you play this, and it's proliferate 3, and you kill 2 people because you're a poison deck or something. And yeah.
I want to see what this Power Fist is about. It's only a $2 card. 1 in a green artifact equipment. Equipped creature has trample, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, put that many +1/+1 counters on it. Okay. So it doubles in power each time.
That is a fun, like, this is the card I'd put in pretty much every single one of my green decks when I was first starting out. Just because I'm like, this is awesome. And it is. you kind of like double the creature's power every turn.
Here's a card I like. I have a vehicle deck. They created a new vehicle, the Recon Craft Theta. 4 mana for a 4/4 flying. When it enters the battlefield, you make a 0/0 blue alien and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Whenever Recon Craft Theta attacks, proliferate, crew 2. That's a cool card.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. Any vehicles that come with creatures... especially on ETB triggers, is really good in that deck.
Yeah, they're so really good.
I'll pick that card up for 24 cents. That sounds fine.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many cards here that are just like, all right, I'll just, like, you could honestly buy 90% of this set for 20 cents or like 20, yeah. 25 cents per card. And yeah. It might be kind of worth it. Like, you're not going to get the Nucle of Vending Machine cards, but like, one of these cards is going to be $5. Like,
I think to me, my pick would be the Watchful Stag. I think that's going to go up. That card seems just insane. Other money cards, they have nice value in this deck in particular. Branching Evolution is a $3 card. Guardian Project, $3 card. Inexorable Tide for Proliferate Strategies, like you had mentioned, is kind of an inevitable theme for everything. So that's another $3 card.
Also, weirdly... The Strength bobblehead is worth $9 right now. Again,
I don't trust these bobblehead prices. I don't think that they're good enough to ever sustain.
It's insane that it's $9. It's three tap, put X11 counters on a creature where X is the number of bobbleheads, activate only as a sorcery. But like,
it's just so suspect.
You can't put six other bobbleheads in your deck that just like, oh, I pay five mana, like draw a card, you know, all right. The stuff that aren't what +1/+1 counter decks. Like, you can't do that. It could be Branching Evolution. Like,
Just don't like it. Oh, they also have, we missed it in the last deck. They have a lot of these sagas that are about the vaults. So flavor wins. If you know the backstory of these vaults, like they go, you know, it makes sense for them to be a saga and whatnot. So they're kind of cool.
The Necropolis, Vault 12, the Necropolis is pretty cool. Each player gets three rad counters, and then you create a zombie for each rad counter among players. Wow. And then you put two counters on each
zombie immune.
So it's a bunch of 4/4s, and you can just get like 10 4/4s out of this.
Right, and by the time they're 4/4s, then you can attack because it kind of made them first, and then that's pretty cool.
And pretty like, card. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Overall, this deck, what do you feel? I think this deck is much better, much more cohesive, has much stronger commanders. I just think this deck's way better than the first.
Yep, I agree. Like the overall strategy of this deck is way better than the overall strategy. Like the overall strategy of this deck is like, hey, I'm going to burn you out and mill you out with rad counters. I'm going to create big creatures and attack you with them. Yeah, and the other one, it's like, oh, I'm going to have a bunch of Q artifacts that when they enter the battlefield, they get energy and then maybe use the energy to do something. And it's just like, this is way more active and way.
Yeah. Once again, this is another. So we're already on deck two, right? Both have only had one way to wipe the board with them. I feel like that's not enough. Now, I have cut way back the amount that I play, but I still play like two to three, usually minimum two.
I think three is a good number. Like, we as a play group, we don't really like game states that are just like, well, there's 20 board wipes in play. We kind of like just playing our decks. But yeah, like I think on average decks have like four board wipes in them, right? Or like 4 to 6.
Yeah. One seems just crazy low. And now if you want to include finality, I probably wouldn't. It's just a -4/-4 effect. And then you have casualties of war that can blow up a bunch of stuff, but certainly not a board wipe.
Yeah, I would include finality because
just because it can clean up a lot.
Yeah, because it helps enough with like, oh, I just made 35 1/1s. I'm going to attack you next turn. Yeah. Like that kind of stuff is good enough. Obviously, it doesn't work with like I played a 10/10, but the putrefy helps with that. Like the other removal fills in the gaps that finality doesn't hit. But yeah.
I'd still like, probably play one more. Throw a damnation.
Throw a damnation or something.
Your life will probably be a little slightly. You'll have slightly better games overall if you have at least three
boards. And you're playing blue, so you can play a bunch of you can play a mouse bounce spell. Blah. What? Mouse bounce spell.
Mouse bounce. Tell me about this mouse bounce.
This Shandy is hitting hard.
I love it. All right. Well, that's this deck overall. I think this one I would rate. I mean, the last deck I rated like a C, C minus even. Yeah. This one's in the B range. This is a good solid deck.
Yeah, I'd say B, a C plus.
Maybe not the greatest deck I've ever seen in my life, but certainly a lot better. We're on the right way this time around.
Yep.
All right. Once again, I think, man, we're slow to get through these decks. I think we might.
You like talking about Magic cards, okay? We haven't done it in a while.
And it takes us a while because this is like the first time we're seeing these decks. So it's tough to really push through. Oh, once again, with this deck, they did, I think, even a better job on the land base somehow here. I think there's overall less tap lands in this deck than even the last one. Like the last one, I think because they had all those artifact lands that all enter tapped.
Oh,
it kind of made it look like, oh my god, every land enters tapped. While here, they didn't have to do that so much.
Yep, that's true. There's a lot of like the Tainted Cycle.
I like the Tainted Cycles. They're good. They give you all the temples now, which at least the art's awesome on these, but I don't love them as cards.
Yeah.
I don't like the Scrylands. They're my least favorite.
Yeah, the temples have firmly removed themselves from being strong enough to play.
Yeah, I agree. They're just not what I'm looking to do at all, ever. I'd rather just a basic. I'm like, I really don't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see you guys in the next one. We'll be talking.
Although, I will say this, Mariposa Military Base is probably going to be pretty good.
The special land for this one.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, we didn't talk about the one. So I guess they've done one for each. The one they did in the energy deck was the Helios one. I love the flavor of that. It's just like a land that allows you to make some energy, and then you can pay a bunch of energy to blow up everything. Black Zone style. Yeah.
Activate it.
Mariposa Military Base is rad, right? It's enters tapped, yep. But gives you rad counters, so self-milling. That's that kind of sucks that the rad counters make yourself lose life. This is a cool mechanic.
I really like it, yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of like you can't just put a bunch of rad on yourself. You're going to die.
Yeah. If it was poison, you could just be like, I'll just put 5 poison on me to make this. But like, if you do have 5 rank out of it, you can make this draw card for free. But like, you know, there's the City's Blessing land that you'd tap 5 to draw a card, but only if you have the City's Blessing.
Yeah, Arch of Araska.
Arch of Araska. That was like
almost. Oh, true. Stable. I didn't read the rest of Mariposa, right? That is the text it has at the bottom is 5 tap draw a card. It costs 1 less for each rad counter you have.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, oh, am I really going to have 5 rad counters to make it for free? But it's like, 5 mana tap to draw a card on land is like kind of fine, you know?
Yeah.
And it costs 25 cents.
Right, it's not the worst. Yeah, field. Yeah.
So
you can handle 5 tap draw a card on a land. It's like...
Yeah, exactly. And if you're playing self-mill, it'll get some cards in your
Yeah, you at least get mill 2, mill 4 if they're all lands for some reason.
Yeah, mill 2 at minimum, yeah, right?
Yeah. Like, well, mill 3 at minimum, right? 2 and then 1. Or does it remove all rad? How does rad
Yeah, work? So just look at our last segment, or listen to our last segment. So for each non-land card milled, you lose a life and a rad counter. So if you mill 2 non-lands, you lose your radiation. And you lose 2 life.
It's gonna trigger for every non-land. It like ticks down, and you lose life.
Yeah. So if you mill, like, you can mill, you know, land artifact and land sorcery, and then second time you'd lose all your radiation. But you milled 4 cards.
Oh, you milled 4 cards. Yeah, and lost 2 life.
And lost 2 life.
It's cool. It's a cool mechanic. All right, love it. We'll see you guys in the next one. Party. Ah!
Party on.